This is Audible.
The Geld by George Mann. Performed by John Banks, Steve Conlin, Matthew Hunt, Jonathan Keeble, Toby Longworth, and Adrian Wheeler.
My eyes are black, yet still I see.
Shadow Captain Quell of the Raven Guard twisted, the blade of his combat knife parting the soft flesh of the Man-Thing's throat, its hot, traitorous blood spilling upon the dirt floor of its perverted place of worship. The body fell with a dull thud, its vital fluids gurgling as they rushed to escape their prison of misshapen flesh. The Thing had borne a beak.
I see creatures that have abased themselves to a foul abomination from beyond the veil of all reason. I see what they have become. What must be done?
Quill turned, skewering another Man-Thing through the breast as it came at him from behind. Then, with his knife still embedded in its chest, he heaved it around like a shield as its kinsmen opened fire. The body shuddered as fist-sized holes punched through the dead flesh. Quell wrinkled his nose at the stench of charred meat. He tossed down the steaming carcass. With a flick of his wrist, he launched his knife in the direction of the third cultist. The blade struck the Man-Thing in the forehead. The body crumpled, silent, still.
I see the light leave their eyes as I free them from their accursed existence. The flickering moment of fear, the silent peace that follows. There is no absolution except the quiet of the grave.
More were swarming from the mouth of the adjoining cavern, a tide of corrupted flesh, men who had given themselves over so wholly to the ministrations of the warp that they had ceased to be men at all. They wore their gifts with pride, their twisted, beaked faces, their taloned fingertips, their discolored flesh. Quell bore no relation, no ancestry with these grotesqueries. They were more monster than man. Another fell as he watched, his chest blooming, sick and wet and red like unfurling petals. Beside it, a second one went down, its head separated from its neck. A third managed to squeeze off a shot before it stumbled over its own tangled guts, hanging loose around its knees. His brothers were getting sloppy. Quell sidestepped, grabbing the face of the Man-Thing that had attempted to sneak up on him from behind. He squeezed, and its skull burst. Its body twitched as it fell to its knees. It tottered there for a moment, before pitching forward into the dirt. Quell shook the viscous matter from his fist.
I see what we must become if we are to cleanse this blighted world of the perversion in its midst.
It is done.
Shadow Captain Illith folded into existence, as if parting the very darkness itself. He'd been standing no more than a few feet from Quell, but no mortal eyes could have seen him, for he, like Quell and the others, had the means to shadow walk, to pass unseen amongst any living entity with a mind. Illith turned to Quell, offering him a lopsided grin. The puckered ribbon of his scar ran like a ravine across his face, twisting the left side of his mouth into a permanent snarl, bright and pink against the alabaster white of his flesh. Illith had lost an eye in the attack that had marked him so. A gene stealer had raked its claws across his face as it disemboweled him, but he had fought on, taking the gene stealer's head off with his combat knife. He'd been found like that, drenched in blood and slumped in a passageway in an old mine, mistaken for dead. When the battlefield apothecary had begun the procedure to recover Illith's gene seed, however, he had risen from the dead, a pale, bloody specter, still alive and still anxious to spill Xenos blood. Badly wounded, he'd been ferried back to Deliverance, where his missing eye had been replaced with a flickering red bionic orb. Legend had it that the device had been manufactured on Mars during the days of the Great Crusade, and for a time had resided in the head of a legendary Legion captain, dug up from an ancient battlefield by agents of the Adeptus Mechanicus. Illith refused to confirm or deny the myths. He studied Quell now, the flickering red strafing Quell's face, searching for a response. Beside Illith, two further figures emerged, melting out of the shadows before Quell's eyes. Sergeant Arteryx, the youngest of them, had a shaved head of black, stubbly hair and eyes of pure darkness. Captain Mordrin bore the silver armor of the Knights of the Raven, a successor chapter of the Raven Guard. As such, he was impure, unproven, his presence tolerated. He looked almost akin to Quell's brothers, but unlike the Raven Guard, he had a long, untamed mane of white hair and wore no corvier, treasured totems made from the skulls of Kievaran ravens upon his belt. He carried an ancient humming power blade, which never left his grip. Quell didn't trust him.
The outer chambers are clear.
Then we move deeper, until we understand the nature of this foul place.
He turned and folded back into the darkness, making haste for the adjoining cavern. The only sign to mark his passing was the gentle stirring of the dead cultist's hair in the breeze.
We must become executioners. We must walk the shadow path and strike at the core of this festering nest. We must twist a knife in its corrupted heart to paralyze it forever.
Up here, close to the pinnacle of the Ravenspire, existed a realm of perpetual gloaming, a haven designed to resemble the ancient forests of Kievar, a place of sanctity and solitude. Here, great arboreal growths had been tamed, twisting themselves around the curved walls, growing thick and matted to form a lattice of branches high above, a canopy that bristled with the nervous twitching of a thousand ravens. Here, too, was Shrike, chapter master of the Raven Guard. The only one of his brothers that Quell knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, was his better. Shrike was seated in a throne, ornamented with the bones and feathers of a Kievaran rock. Its enormous wings erupted from the seat back, unfurling in the cavernous space to give the impression that Shrike, hunched forward in thoughtful repose, had somehow sprouted wings himself. His hand rested upon its man-sized skull, mounted upon the left arm of the throne. Close by stood Cordai, Shrike's favored chaplain, who himself was adorned with the fetishes of the dead, and wore a macabre helm fashioned from the skull of a similar bird. Beside Quell, seated at a round wooden table, sat Illith, Arteryx, and Mordrin. Each of them looked ill at ease, evidently as unaware of the chapter master's intent as Quell himself.
These are dark days, and they require dark measures.
Shrike looked up, fixing each of the warriors in turn with his unwavering stare. He alighted on Quell last of all.
What is it you require of us, chapter master?
Shrike ignored the warrior's question.
The ways of the Raven Guard are ancient and revered. We find strength in stealth, power in subterfuge. We wear the shadows as our armor, and we strike at the very heart of our enemies. Our battle brothers might work to erode the enemies of the Imperium slowly, clashing in righteous conflict. We prefer more subtle methods, more decisive.
Quell glanced across at Illith, who was watching the chapter master intently, his brow deeply furrowed.
We understand the virtue of infiltration, of removing the head so that the body flails, of disrupting the enemy from within. We work behind the enemy's lines to clear a path for our brothers to do their work. In this way, a single warrior might conquer a world. None in our history were so adept at this as those of the Mor Dathan. Those who could walk unseen in the shadows, who might tread a lone path through the darkness, clouding the minds of the unwary as they passed.
Slowly, Shrike rose to his feet. His armor was sleek and black and glinted in the inky half-light. Now, Quell knew why he had been brought here, back to the Ravenspire, for this unprecedented audience. Now he understood.
I am the righteousness that stalks the night.
Shrike crossed the room to stand before their table. He leaned forward, placing both palms upon its surface.
It is for this reason that you are here. The ability to shadow walk. A genetic trait that has all but been forgotten, near eradicated from our gene seed. And yet...
He looked directly at Queld. And Queld felt the weight of that stare. Felt the burden of the responsibility he carried.
And yet the four of you know something of it, do you not?
Queld moistened his lips.
I am the killer that strikes from the shadows. I issue no warning, show no mercy. I bring only judgment to the enemies of the Imperium.
Aye, Chapter Master. I believe I do.
The others murmured their solemn agreement.
Aye!
This was not a matter to be taken lightly. Queld had never spoken of it to anyone. And yet ever since the earliest days of his trials on Kiavar, when he had proved himself in the ritual capture of a raven, when he had claimed its soul and skull as his own and earned his place amongst the Raven Guard, he had known he was different. While the other initiates had shown a proclivity for stealth and cunning, Queld had mastered the shadows themselves, seemingly able to walk unseen by his brothers, to somehow cloud their minds to his presence. To him, it had been a curse, a thing that had set him apart from his brothers. They had known it too. And while they had not shunned him, they had treated him with caution, and on occasion, mistrust.
I am the dichotomy at the heart of all things. Pale and black, savior and murderer, protector and warrior.
In the years that had followed, he had deployed the skill only rarely, in times of dire need, and yet it had served him and his brothers well. He had risen swiftly through the ranks, surviving embittered conflicts against the many foul races that teemed across the galaxy, and those that lurked in the dark realms beyond it too. And yet, he had never given voice to it. Now, it seemed, what had lurked unacknowledged in the darkness for so long was about to be dragged into the light.
I am Raven Guard. I am death.
Shrike stood back from the table and straightened to his full, impressive height.
In ancient times, it is said the Mor Dathan came together in moments of extraordinary peril. They were the secret weapon of Korax himself, his elite, deployed in unconventional circumstances to aid their brothers, to walk unseen amongst the enemy and undertake the most extreme but necessary missions. Now is such a moment. You sit before me as an echo of that once great order. You are what remains of the Mor Dathan. You are my Shadow Masters.
They ghosted into the adjoining chamber, weapons ready. Here, the walls of the cavern were defined by a roughly hewn crystalline lattice, which glittered and shifted under the altering quality of the light. Candles stood upon iron sconces, and two tall pillars had been shaped from translucent stalagmites, carved into totems that resembled a sea of screaming faces, as if men had somehow been absorbed into the stone against their will, and were still fighting to break free. The floor of the cavern was littered with more of the avian cultists, dressed in loose-fitting robes and carrying sickle-shaped swords and las pistols. A dozen of them at least, crumpled upon the dusty ground, their throats yawning open where they had been sliced from ear to ear. No sign remained of any of the other combatants. Queld was forced to conclude that the monstrous things had turned upon themselves. He'd heard tell of such things, that the imprecations of chaos were fickle, and trickery and betrayal was the creed by which these fallen souls eked out their miserable existences. Nevertheless, he tightened his grip on his bolter. Ahead, Arteryx broke cover, stepping out of the shadows, his bolter sweeping the heaped remains of the dead. He glanced at the others as they too emerged from the velvet black.
We have passed this way before. The tunnels in this strange place shift around us.
It is built to deceive.
Mordrin shook his head.
No. While I do not disagree with you regarding the Byzantine nature of this fortress, brother, I do not believe we have passed this way. These pillars seem unfamiliar.
He crossed to one of the pillars, leaning closer to examine the elaborate carving.
Come, brothers! I do not trust this place.
Mordrin nodded and stepped back from the pillar. But as he did, Queld saw his eyes widen in horrified surprise. He swung his sword around in a defensive arc, as if suddenly convinced that the pillar itself was about to attack him.
Mordrin! What see you?
I see horror. I see blasphemy.
He fell back, raising his sword, just as something seemed to lurch out from behind the pillar, striking at him with its own humming blade. Their weapons clashed, and Mordrin staggered under the unexpected force of the blow, grimacing as he fought to push his assailant back. Queld raised his bolter, trying to get a bead on this new, unseen enemy. He circled around, keeping the nose of his weapon up, waiting for it to hove into view. From across the cavern, he heard Arteric shout, followed by the rumbling bark of his bolter, but kept his eyes fixed on the pillar as he edged around, his back to the cavern wall. Mordrin had wasted little time, and was now fully engaged with the enemy, their swords clashing violently and loudly, as they too circled the pillar. As Queld watched, a booted foot, followed by a pauldron, emerged from behind the pillar, and he got his first clear look at Mordrin's assailant. The thing, for it was no living creature, was a mirror image of Mordrin, twisted and misshapen, and formed from the same translucent crystal as the walls. It moved with stuttering grace, mirroring Mordrin's own movements, its blade swinging up to parry his every move. It creaked as it walked, as if the crystal itself was protesting at being forced to adopt such strange organic shapes, and its face was a mask of sheer hatred. A malformed parody of Mordrin's own. It was diabolic, a construct of infernal creation that had somehow manifested from inside of the pillar when Mordrin had peered too close.
Do not look at the pillars!
Queld knew his warning was already too late. Another figure had half emerged from the other pillar, now trapped at the waist, swinging its one arm free to attempt to grab hold of Arteryx, who was backing away, his bolter screaming as he loosed round after round into the strange reflection. The explosive rounds punched holes in the crystal golem, but still it came on, attempting to wrench itself free of its prison. Close by, Mordrin was still trying to gain the upper hand, driving his doppelganger back with a relentless assault with his power sword. Their weapons sparked as they clashed, showering the ground with hot fizzing fragments. Queld squeezed the trigger of his bolter, loosing a hail of rounds, which slammed into the side of the doppelganger, detonating as they struck its strange crystal armor. They barely seemed to have any impact at all as the thing redoubled its attack, lurching forward and causing Mordrin to stumble against the pillar, almost losing his footing. Illith was behind it now, though. And with both hands clutched around the grip of his combat blade, he buried the weapon in the back of the thing's neck, just above the gorget. It screeched, discordant and inhuman, and staggered back, lowering its blade as it reached for the hilt of the knife, still buried in its neck. Mordrin lunged, impaling the doppelganger through its chest. With a shattering burst, it exploded, sending a bloom of glittering fragments into the air. The second construct was still grabbing frantically for Arteryx, who had moved safely out of its reach, but had relented in his attempts to obliterate it with bolter fire. He nodded to Mordrin, who cleaved the thing's head from its shoulders in one quick, satisfying motion. The hunk of solid crystal rolled across the ground, bumping against the corpse of one of the dead cultists. Its features remained fixed in a snarling parody of Arteryx's face. Mordrin turned to Arteryx.
No. We have not passed through here already. I believe I'd remember.
You mean to strip us of our companies?
No. I mean only to call on you in the direst of circumstances. To come together when the chapter needs you most. Irrespective of your existing duties.
Queld glowered at Mordrin, who had sat through Shrike's speech in solemn silence, barely even acknowledging the other's presence. He turned to Shrike.
Surely this is a matter for the Raven Guard, and not our derivations.
Shrike slammed his fist upon the table.
The Knights of the Raven are our creed. They too share the legacy of Korax. They stand with us as brothers against the dark tide of chaos that threatens to engulf this galaxy. These are dark times, Queld. Do not think for a moment I shall stand for divisiveness or talk of chapter purity. Mordrin deserves his place at this table, and you shall show him respect.
Queld inclined his head in contrition. He hadn't even mentioned Arteryx. He was only a sergeant. Behind Shrike, the sinister figure of Cordai loomed. His bird skull mask bobbed as he moved in a strange parody of the creature it had once belonged to.
And you are certain of this, Chapter Master? This undertaking?
Shrike turned to study the chaplain.
I am certain that I have no choice. That in this time of need, as the tide of the universe turns against us, I see strength in unity between kin. The chance to make a difference. To fight a different kind of war against a different kind of enemy. These four brothers will be the tool I employ to do it.
I stand with you. For Korax. For Korax.
Mordrin glanced at Queld. His lip curled in a wry smile.
For Korax.
Aye. For Korax. And for the Emperor.
The passageway ahead had grown narrow as it wound deeper into the mountain. The walls here were still shot through with spidery veins of crystal, but they had now left the strange pillared chamber far behind. The path had begun to ascend, rising slowly, drawing them on towards Mazik's lair at the very peak of the warren-like fortress. They'd met only slight resistance, a handful of unsuspecting cultists dragging a chain gang of human slaves along behind them. The humans had probably been marked for sacrificial rites, or worse, and so the Raven Guard had killed them all, unable to consider allowing the humans to go free after spending so long in the proximity of such horrors. It was likely that the vile things they had seen had polluted their weak minds, and that it would manifest later, continuing the work of the cultists' foul god. Up ahead, the mouth of the passage flared into the opening of another cavern. Queld could already smell the tang of spilled blood in the air, and he drew his combat knife as he approached the shadowy opening. He heard Illith issue a series of clicks barely distinguishable above the ambience of the cavern, which to Queld's trained ear were a series of commands to enter the cavern and fan out, skirting the edge of the space until they could establish the scale of the threat. Queld followed behind Mordrin, who hugged the wall, sliding effortlessly from one shadowy pool to the next, even somehow managing to obscure the reflective panels of his power armor from view. He was no Raven Guard, but Queld had to admit Mordrin was a valuable battle brother. The roughly hewn walls of the cavern opened out into a flagstone space, with three further exits disappearing off into darkness. The room had been set out as a shrine, with a raised central plinth bearing a stone altar, and a high ceiling dripping with stalactites. The altar was largely unadorned, save for a huge eye of polished red and purple gems inlaid into its front slab. It shone as if lit from within, and Queld couldn't shake the uncomfortable notion that it was watching him. There was nothing alive in the chamber, but once again, there were corpses. Only this time, they wore familiar black armor and beaked helms. Raven Guard.
Arteryx, watch the exits.
Illith crossed to the foot of the altar, where the nearest of the fallen lay, face down, his bolter still gripped in his left hand, and a weeping hole in his chest where his hearts used to be.
There are five of them, all bearing similar wounds.
One had lost an arm, another a leg, while the third's helm had been cracked and scorched, and he had fallen back against the wall, the lower half of his burned face visible through the shattered ceramite.
They went down fighting. That much is clear.
Quell didn't recognize any of the dead. They bore the markings of the Fourth Company, serving under Shadow Captain Corin.
An advance party.
Then they had done well to make it this deep into the mountain before encountering resistance.
Traitors. They were killed by bolter fire.
Or trickery. We have already learned that in this place we cannot trust even our own senses. Perhaps their minds became clouded by some malign influence and they killed one another in their own crossfire. I see no evidence of their attackers. Could warriors of the Raven Guard truly prove so ineffective that they should fail to even draw blood?
It is possible. Yet this one... this one was shot through the chest, from that direction.
Elith pointed towards the trio of branching exits.
The position of the body suggests another party was involved.
Then we shall see them avenged.
The sky was crisscrossed with funnels of superheated air and fire, and lit by the stuttering flash of tracer. Black smoke smeared the horizon, bruised and dark, as if some vengeful god had used his thumb to cloak the sun in a thick pall of ash. The scream of engines sounded like the fabric of the world being torn asunder, as the Raven Guard's now depleted squadrons of Stormhawks and Storm Talons engaged the seemingly endless flock of enemy Heldricks. Quelled watched them for a moment, spiraling through the air, blooming in fire and death, seeking a path through the blockade to the civilian settlements so they might continue their devastating bombardments. The Raven Guard were holding them back, but at enormous cost. It was only a matter of time before another of the enemy flyers broke through, and then the bombing raids would resume. Quelled turned, squat and looming, the mountain fortress of the enemy dominated the horizon. A soaring peak, riddled with caverns, punctuated with buttresses and barking gun emplacements. And at the very top, deep inside the mountain, the stronghold of the enemy commander. The one they called Mazik the Unfixed. Shrike's briefing had been short and to the point. Quelled and his fellow Shadow Masters were to penetrate deep into this stronghold and take down Mazik, cutting off the enemy chain of command and leaving them open to an all-out assault by the gathered Raven Guard. Even now they laid siege to the slopes of the mountain, repelled from all sides by swarms of vile, mutated cultists, demon spawn and traitors.
For 12 days we have laid siege to the Eyrie, and still, each wave of attack breaks upon their defenses.
Quelled turned to see Shadow Captain Corin of the Fourth Company striding across the rugged tundra behind them. He wore ancient armor with a flared respirator, twin lightning claws, and the names of all of its previous owners carefully engraved into its outer carapace. Quelled had fought alongside Corin on many occasions and admired his skill in battle, as well as his ability to command. If even he could not break the enemy forces, then the situation was dire indeed.
I presume all of this amounts to a distraction. That you've already sent a team into the fortress to effect an assassination.
Quelled could imagine the expression on Corin's face, but it was hidden behind the faceplate of his helm. To his credit, his voice remained level, even.
3 teams have been dispatched. None, so far as I'm aware, have managed to breach the highest layers of the Warren. One squad reported severe losses before going silent. Another had their heads paraded from the upper parapets on spikes. And the third has not been heard from since they breached the outer wall.
He looked from Illith to Arteryx to Quelled, studiously ignoring Mordron.
And now the Chapter Master sends you.
Tell us more of this Mazik the Unfixed. A renegade Astartes, I presume.
Aye. A traitor. Alpha Legion. A former apothecary, taken to inflicting his insane experiments upon his followers. You'll see evidence of his work amongst the dead.
We shall dispatch more of the creatures ourselves. You've scouted for the best entrance into the mountain?
Aye. A third of the way up the slope, through a small cave mouth just east of that promontory.
Corin pointed to indicate the location.
Very well.
We move out. Continue the assault, Shadow Captain Corin.
Keep them busy while we do our work.
I intend to.
The cultist blinked, vaguely aware of a sudden alteration in the air currents, before Queld opened its chest with a violent downward stroke from his combat knife. It scrabbled in the bloody mess, hissing as it tried to push itself back together before collapsing to its knees, its eyes rolling back in its head as it pitched forward. Around Queld, the shadows danced, a violent, silent ballet, as the whirling blades of the Shadow Masters cut through the remaining cultists in seconds. It was as if the shadows themselves had suddenly become weapons, razor-edged and deadly. 12 of the man-things buckled, arterial blood arcing through the air as they gasped their final breaths. They hadn't even had a chance to reach for their weapons. Queld stood for a moment, waiting for the room to grow silent again, for the hissing and wheezing of the dying cultists to grow still. The chamber was a storehouse, filled with sacks of grain and fetid animal carcasses that hung pendulously from severe-looking hooks in the walls. The stench was close to overwhelming. He heard Illith issue a command to move on, and melted into the darkness. It had been almost an hour since they'd found their dead kin beside the altar, but the sight that greeted Queld now almost belied belief. The room was identical to the one they'd passed through earlier, right down to the jewel-like eye and 5 of the Raven Guard. Only this time, his brothers were alive. Queld froze, listening. He heard more clicks from Illith. This time he was warning them of a trap, perhaps convinced that these fellow Raven Guard were naught but apparitions, conjured into existence by this strange Byzantine place. Queld studied the jeweled eye on the shrine. Had they traversed a circle? Had the tunnels somehow warped their spatial perception? Or worse, their perception of time itself? Were they seeing the ghosts of brothers that had once lived? Or were they now somehow interceding in their final moments, looping back to a time before Queld and the others had happened upon their corpses in the first instance? Illith gave the order for all except Mordrin to break cover, leaving the Knight of the Raven lurking in the shadows, ready to strike if the 5 Raven Guard transpired to be apparitions or constructs like the doppelgangers they'd encountered earlier. The grizzled squad sergeant turned towards Illith, raising his bolt pistol, his finger on the trigger. He hesitated when he saw Illith lower his blade, eyes widening in surprise. Queld recognized him immediately from the last time they'd been in the room. He'd been the corpse missing its leg. The only one amongst his squad without a helm.
Stand down, Sergeant.
The sergeant's pistol wavered. And then he did as Illith commanded, lowering his weapon. Clearly, he too had seen the phantoms.
Shadow Captain, you're not expected?
Indeed.
I'm Corson of the 4th. Shadow Captain Corin charged us with infiltrating this vile place.
Agreed. Vile is the word. How long since deployment?
6 days, 4 hours, and 37 minutes.
Illith glanced over his shoulder at Queld. Their eyes met. Corson turned abruptly at the sight of something over Illith's shoulder.
Incoming!
Queld twisted on the spot to see a towering figure emerging from one of the tunnel mouths ahead. It lumbered forward with a rigid, mechanical gait. It bore the shape and form of a space marine, but its armor was ancient and unfamiliar, and atop its helm it carried a golden crest. As it stepped into the light, Queld saw strange symbols and traceries upon its blue pauldrons, shifting and swirling as if by their own volition. It was carrying an ancient pattern of bolter.
Traitors!
Queld sensed Arteryx ghost away into the shadows. Behind the traitor marine, another 2 were emerging, fanning out to flank their kin, and behind them, Queld could see the golden crests of 2 more.
Fire!
Corson's Raven Guard squad spread out into a line, their weapons barking, shots echoing like thunderclaps in the enclosed space of the cavern. Quelled swept up his bolter and joined them in their onslaught, showering the traitors in a hail of explosive shells. To Quelled's dismay, the traitors simply continued their onward march, bolter rounds detonating against their armor, punching holes in the ceramite that, instead of spilling blood, plumed with clouds of swirling dust. He'd heard tell of such things, but had never before encountered them. Traitors who had put their faith in sorcery, whose masters had withered their bodies inside their armor, turning them to living dust. A legion of mindless killing machines in the service of chaos. He had no idea how to kill such a thing. The lead traitor stopped suddenly and swung its weapon around, firing a shot that removed a Raven Guard's arm in a shower of hot blood and sent him reeling. He scrambled for his dropped weapon, but another round burst apart his chest, spraying organs and fractured ceramite up the crystal-infused wall. Corson stalked forward, his bolt pistol trained on the traitor's head. Quelled saw its faceplate blow apart under the onslaught, dust swirling around the wound. But then the monster simply turned its head and trained its bolter on Corson, taking off his leg and toppling him. He revved his chainsword, clambering towards the altar for cover. But it was too late, and he was blown backwards by a second bolter rout. Quelled twisted, sliding into the shadows. He ran towards the wall, intending to circle around behind the traitors, but the thud of rounds, inches from his head, caused him to skid to a stop, throwing himself awkwardly against the rock face to avoid being hit. He turned to see one of the traitors looking directly at him, its weapon trained in his direction. With a dawning realization, he understood what was happening. These things that had once been Adeptus Astartes, they no longer had any minds to obfuscate.
They can see us!
He shoved himself away from the wall, spitting a hail of covering fire as he fell back. Close by, the remaining three Raven Guards spread out further, making smaller targets of themselves as they continued to rain bolter shells into the ponderous traitors. To Quelled's extreme left, Arteryx was pressed against the wall, chewing up one of the traitors with round after round of well-placed shots. Illith was stealing around the back of the enemy, and as Quelled scanned the shadows, he saw Mordrem launch himself at one of the flanking traitors, his massive sword humming. The blade cleaved the traitor from shoulder to hip, spilling precious streams of life dust upon the slabs. It twisted, trying to round on Mordrem, but he yanked his blade free and buried it again in the thing's chest, spearing it to the hilt. He staggered back, wrenching his weapon with both hands so that the blade came up and out, slicing through the traitor's other shoulder. The sheer momentum of the blow caused the traitor to topple forward, the upper half of its body cut free in a jagged V, which separated as it fell. Grey dust poured from inside the armor in a torrent, and the traitor finally lay still. Quelled twisted and saw another of the fourth company had fallen. The figure staggered towards the altar, two fist-sized holes in its chest. This was the first of the bodies they'd examined, dead on the plinth, his arm outstretched as if grasping for the bejeweled eye. Everything was playing out just as it had before, except he, Illith, and the other Shadow Masters were here too. The scene was near identical. But earlier, there had been no traitors, or at least no trace of their remains. Quelled peered again at the eye. Around him, bolter shells were flying, whizzing past his helm, thudding into the wall behind him. But for a moment, none of it seemed to matter. The eye was looking into him, calling to him, beckoning him to come closer. He could hear it whispering to him now, its dark imprecations worming their way into his ears, threatening to take root in his mind. He gritted his teeth, raised his bolter, and opened fire. The jeweled eye exploded in a hail of shattered gemstones, broken fragments hurtling through the air, pinging against his chest plate as he stormed forward, bolter chattering, decimating the bizarre, beguiling mosaic, tearing chunks out of the stone altar. He stood in a cloud of swirling dust and stone fragments, until the base of the altar collapsed and it pitched forward, eroded by the ferocity of the onslaught. Finally, His bolter clicked redundantly in his grip, the magazine empty. Drawing a ragged breath, Queld looked up to see his three battle brothers staring at him in bewilderment. Mordrin was standing over a scattered pile of dust, the tip of his sword trailing upon the ground. Arteryx was attempting to load a new magazine into his bolter, and Illith was retrieving his combat blade from the dusty ground at his feet. As Queld looked on, the dust seemed to gather itself before swirling away into nothing, as if carried off by an unnatural wind.
Brother?
Queld looked down at the bolter in his hands, the devastation before him. For a moment, words evaded him.
It was the Eye, asserting a malign influence over us, testing us, reworking time itself to trap us in whatever diabolical loop our brothers had been caught in for days.
He looked around to see the remaining two were now dead, sprawled in the positions in which he and the others had first found them. They'd been like that for some time.
You mean to say all of this was mere illusion? A corruption of the mind?
No. No, those traitors seemed real enough. I think this happened days ago, and this place, it had somehow drawn us into its trap, luring us back here to our deaths.
Deaths which you have averted.
Aye, but narrowly, brother. Those traitors could see us. Our shadow walk is useless in the face of mindless enemies.
And our senses, too, cannot be trusted. That which is false becomes real.
Then we proceed with caution.
He reclaimed his blade and stood, making for the central exit.
How can we be certain that the same path will not lead us back here again?
We cannot. But we shall tread it all the same, for it is the only path that winds higher into the mountain and towards our goal.
The mountain was littered with the dead. The fallen of the Raven Guard lay in sickening proximity to the broken bodies of the heathens they had slain. Uneasy bedfellows, continuing their battle well beyond the point of drawing breath. A Saul apothecary crept amongst the corpses, cracking ceramite and harvesting gene seed. Later, when all of this was over, Queld hoped their Corvia would be collected too and borne back to Kievar, so the dead might be properly honored. All around them the battle raged, as the Raven Guard fell in wave after wave against the unyielding defenses of Mazik's forces. Terminators fell thunderously upon the churning vehicles of the enemy, which prowled the lower slopes, their cannons belching fire into the swarming ranks of Space Marines below. Land speeders harried the cultists in the armored promontories on the upper slopes, whilst assault squads tore into the gibbering horrors and warp spawn that spilled from within the mountain. From above, plasma cannons spat searing energy at the Raven Guard's tanks, turning rhinos and land raiders alike to glowing metal sludge, and boiling battle brothers alive inside their power armor. In the distance, a bizarre monstrous demon with a bird's head stalked through the ranks of Raven Guard, snapping and rending, tearing and transmuting, cutting a swathe of death in its wake. Arteryx was standing at the mouth of a narrow gully. With a grunt, he shifted the slumped corpse of a dead abhuman out of their path, which had evidently brought down three Raven Guard before their brothers had felled it with a frag grenade, blowing a hole in its side. Mordrin went to Arteryx's aid, sharing the burden as they rolled the waxy corpse down the scrub-covered mountainside. Queld could see unnatural maggots had already set to work inside the exposed chest of the carcass, feasting on its dead heart.
This is it.
Arteryx indicated the narrow passage through the rock, which led down for a few feet before disappearing into a shadowy fissure in the mountainside. Blood was smeared ominously across one side of the gully, the fading impression of another recent battle.
Looks welcoming.
Come. There is work to be done.
Together, the four Shadow Masters slipped silently into the mouth of the fissure, from where they would begin their gradual ascent into the inner chambers of the mountain.
A malign presence lurks here, in this unfathomable realm inside the mountain. I hear its taunts, its whispers, its invitations.
We are walking in circles. We've passed this way before.
No. It is the devious nature of this place. It seeks to confuse. See here the sweep of the wall, the angle of incline in the floor. It is an optical illusion designed to disorientate. I have tracked our progress. We're nearing the top of the mountain. Soon, we shall find our target.
Aye, but we should anticipate further trickery at every turn. We near the traitor's lair, but where are the guards? We have been unopposed since destroying the shrine. Our passage has been too easy.
It is as if these tunnels had been designed to aid our passage, shepherding us towards this point. I fear they are guiding us towards another trap.
As if Mazik knows we are coming.
The shadow path will guide us.
Blind faith will not. We near our target. Tread with caution, brothers.
It knows us for what we are. It sees what others cannot. And it hungers.
They return to the shadows, passing swiftly around the narrow bends, weapons trained to front and rear, mindful of the trickery of the labyrinthine warren. Illith had been correct. They were looping around the inside of the mountain peak in concentric circles, each revolution growing smaller, drawing them closer and closer to Mazik and whatever awaited them at his eyrie. The path ahead narrowed to a small opening, barely large enough for one of them to pass through at a time. Columns of smooth-dressed stone framed the hole, each one engraved in unfamiliar whorls and pictograms. Just looking at them incited a mixture of trepidation and loathing within Quelled. He halted on the threshold, and the others broke from the shadows to stand behind him.
I can see nothing beyond the opening. It is as if my vision is obscured, and the darkness cannot be penetrated.
It is unnatural. Conjured by warp filth.
And yet there is no other way, except to fail in our task. Stand aside, Quelled. I shall breach it first.
Remain on Vox contact.
Aye.
Arteryx approached the opening, ducked his head, and stepped through. For a moment there was nothing but silence. Then the Vox crackled suddenly to life in Quelled's ear.
There is a small chamber. The walls are fashioned from sheets of pure crystal. It glows with an unholy...
Arteryx!
Go!
Quelled drew his blade and stepped into the envelope of darkness. For a moment, he felt as if he were cocooned in something warm and black, pressing in from all sides, stifling his breath, obscuring his vision. He pushed, thrashing out, as if tearing his way through the immaterium itself. He slashed at the air with his blade, and it met resistance, piercing something strange and intangible. It seemed to part in his wake, breaking into feathery fragments that gusted away on a non-existent breeze, resembling nothing so much as Kievaran ravens taking flight. A moment later they had gone, and he was alone. He was standing in a room constructed from walls of polished crystal, which seemed to shine with their own inner radiance, shifting along a spectrum of blues and greens and golds. There was no evidence of Arteryx or his passing. Only a single doorway led on, deep into the crystal complex that appeared to stem from this initial chamber.
Arteryx! Do you read me? Arteryx! Repeat!
Eyes! JT! Do not trust!
Illith!
I read you, Quelled.
There's no sign of Arteryx. I'm going after him. Into the next chamber.
Quelled glanced around. Behind him, the portal through which he had entered swirled with the same strange black viscous substance he had waded through. Quelled sheathed his knife and raised his bolter. Cautiously, he crossed the room, approaching the narrow opening, scanning for any sign of Arteryx. He could see through into the next chamber, which seemed to mirror the first in almost every way, save for the fact the opening was on the west wall, and there was no sign of another portal. No sign of Arteryx either. Queld stepped up to the opening, only to rebound noisily from a solid crystal wall. Shaking his head, he touched the barrier. Now, there was no sign of the opening at all, but simply another sheet of glowing crystal standing in his path. He turned on the spot, keeping his bolter level, to see that the portal had now disappeared too, replaced by yet another wall. And now a new opening had appeared in the east wall, identical to the previous one. He hurried over to it, cautiously reaching out, only to discover that this too was an illusion.
Arteryx, can you hear me?
Do not trust your eyes.
Quill turned, but there was no one there.
Mordron.
It seemed they had all become lost, hellish maze.
Do not trust your eyes.
Arteryx's words, if indeed they were Arteryx's words and not some further trickery, echoed in his mind.
Do not trust your eyes.
The entire complex was an illusion, or at least one fallacy had been layered upon another, tricking his eyes, causing him to believe the walls had somehow shifted, parting to form new doorways while closing others in their wake. That was what Arteryx had been telling him, not to trust his own eyes. But what of his other senses? Had they too fallen prey to the twisted imprecations of this bizarre place? Quelled drew a deep breath and closed his eyes.
Darkness is our shield. The shadow path will guide us.
There was nothing but him, the center of all things. The eddy of a gentle breeze stirring his hair, brushing his pale cheek. He turned and walked towards it, his eyes tightly shut. One step, then two, and then more, as he walked briskly towards the opening he knew was there. He heard the timbre of his footsteps change and realized he had passed into the adjoining chamber. He stood for a moment and then set out again, striding with growing confidence, moving on through the next room and then the room after that, winding his way deeper and deeper into the crystalline maze.
My eyes are black, yet still I see.
5 rooms later, he sensed a change in the quality of the air. He stopped on the threshold, his finger twitching on the trigger of his bolter. There was something else in the room. He could feel its presence. Quelled moistened his lips. He knew the thing was looking at him, weighing him up. It was on his right, pressed up against the wall. Its fingers were trailing over the polished crystal, its feet stirring the granules of dust on the ground. It was not of this realm. Of that he was certain. He waited, sensing its impatience. It wanted him to move, to spring its trap.
Not yet. Not yet. Not yet.
It shifted, launching itself into the air, and Quelled swung his bolter in a wide arc, squeezing the trigger and loosing round after round. The sudden noise was startling and obscene after the relative silence of the last few minutes, but he heard the satisfying thud of shells against soft flesh as his shots found their mark, shredding the beast in midair. It flopped to the ground, wheezing, as it gave its final throes in the mortal realm. Then it was gone, and all was silent again. He pressed on, striding through the darkness, more at home in its comforting embrace than he had felt since he'd first entered the infernal fortress.
We are Raven Guard, and we shall not be dissuaded from our righteous path, no matter where it leads.
Quelled?
Arteryx?
I'm here, Quelled.
Quelled opened his eyes. Arteryx stood before him, flanked by Mordron. They were standing at the base of a massive flight of steps, hewn from the same shimmering crystal as the walls, and imbued with identical swirling colors. Their apex disappeared out of sight, stretching up into the very peak of the mountain. Here, wispy clouds had formed inside the structure, vaporous and gossamer. Beyond this, he presumed, lay Mazik's eerie.
Illith!
Here!
Quill turned to see Illith's twisted snarl as he emerged through the doorway behind him. There was blood spattered across his chest plate. It wasn't his.
Another test overcome.
Mordrin hefted his sword. It, too, was smeared with blood.
And now we are invited to approach our enemy through the main entrance to his lair.
He glanced at Illith.
It is not our way. He is expecting us. We walk headlong into a trap.
Illith nodded, his expression grave.
Aye, but overconfidence shall prove his undoing. He underestimates us.
I think we've shown him exactly what we're capable of.
He replaced the near-empty magazine from his bolter.
Yet, I do not see we have a choice.
Then, for Korax, brothers.
Mordrin met Queld's gaze. Queld held it for a moment.
For Korax.
As they neared the top of the steps, the mist seemed to close in around them. Water beaded on their armor, and Queld was forced to wipe it from his eyes. They were in the uppermost reaches of the mountain, deep inside its soaring peak, and the air was growing thin. Ahead of Queld, Mordrin had reached a level platform and stopped, half shrouded in pale mist. He glanced back at his brothers, as if ensuring they were close behind, and then, gripping the hilt of his sword in both hands, he stepped into the white haze, disappearing completely. Queld hurried after him, taking the last few steps two at a time. The platform had been constructed from dark grey stone, carved from the very stuff of the mountain, and formed a bridge of sorts across a wide, ominous gulf. He crossed it cautiously, watching the mist. Beyond, he could hear no sound, not even the tread of boots to mark Mordrin's passing. He breached the mist a few seconds later, and suddenly, all the colour, noise, and horror of reality came crashing back in around him. The bridge emerged onto a shelf of grey stone, where a large crystal archway had been erected, jagged and uneven, as if abandoned halfway through its construction. Mordrin stood beneath the arch, looking out upon a vast circular chamber. Here, upon a throne of quivering flesh and bone, sat Mazik the Unfixed. He was a vision of perfect imperfection, his body so twisted and mutated that it was no longer able to hold its form for more than a few seconds before sloughing away only to then reform, as if his entire being had become malleable and inhuman. One side of his face still resembled a man, while the other was more akin to a gibbering spawn, the skin blistered and rubbery and foul. A single tusk grew from the base of his jaw, jutting awkwardly through the torn flesh. Yet he still bore a semblance to the space marine he had once been, and for a moment, Queld thought he caught a glimpse of sorrow in the